every weekday at 5:30. Darren and I endeavor to give you the best morning show we know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while...
it works out that way.
Here on the internet, you get the best of the best. The cream of the cream, as they say in French. The toppermost of the poppermost. Welcome to another installment of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. A gentle reminder, you can listen to all of this live as it happens weekday mornings on Planet 93.9.
Oh, you're just marvelous.
Let's get into it. Where do we start?
How about number one?
One.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
Rough story here of a... I mean, the headline tells you everything you need to know. Sunbathing 70-year-old grandmother. How do you think this story ends?
Did she get washed away?
Sunbathing 70-year-old grandmother.
Did she fall asleep?
No. You're getting warmer, though. I'll tell you that. Sunbathing 70-year-old grandmother mauled to death by the family dog. Oh, no.
What kind of sunscreen did she have on?
Steak sauce.
Liver flavored?
She'd been sunbathing with eggnog. And we begged her not to tan.
Oh, that's gruesome.
This happened over in the UK, where I guess so far this summer, dogs have mauled 5 people? What's going on in England? 70-year-old British grandmother mauled to death by the family's dog as she was sunbathing in the backyard on Friday. 5th person to die from a dog attack in the UK this year.
Is that supposed to make you feel better?
That you're 1 of 5?
Yeah, as opposed to just by yourself.
If it's any consolation, she's the 5th to die this year. This woman died after the dog pounced on her outside her home. Her 49-year-old daughter desperately tried to fight off the dog as it attacked her mother, but the dog then bit her, and she was unable to stop the fatal mauling. Daughter treated to the hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Both she and her husband were arrested because I guess this is a breed of dog that has been banned in England. You're not supposed to even have these dogs. We don't know why it happened. We don't know what the breed of the dog is. But I will tell you that in England, you can't have an American pit bull. You can't have a Japanese Tosa, a Dogo Argentinos, or a Fila Brasileiro. UK law also bans any dogs that are dangerously out of control. Banned breed. They say it was a dog with, one of the neighbors says it was a dog that had a, quote, big head. That's not helpful. When the dog's owner got it, she said it was a rare breed and there were only 6 in England. That's according to one of the neighbors who does not want to be named. I'll tell you about that dog.
Only 6 because they were illegal.
Yes. This guy did not want to be named, but he lives across the street. Well, then I think we can narrow down who that is. He says the family kept the dog in the backyard and he never saw it show any signs of aggression. Quote, no one knows why it attacked and killed the poor woman. It could have gone crazy after being stung by a bee. Or it could have had something wrong with its brain.
Or she's just that delicious.
It's not Christmas without Grandma. So that's a theory that the neighbor across the street who doesn't want to be named. But clearly we know who you are. You're the neighbor across the street.
I'm right over here.
Speaking of bees, did you see where the 81-year-old man had his hip broken as a result of a bee attack?
Well, yeah, if you're trying to escape bees and you trip and fall.
It's not easy to be, what is it Mick Jagger used to say? What a drag it is getting old. 81-year-old man breaks his hip during a 3-hour attack by over 200 bees.
What?
This happened a little closer to home in Oklahoma. 81-year-old Oklahoma man.
They wouldn't leave you alone for 3 hours?
Lucky to be alive following a savage 3-hour attack by over 200 killer bees. It was so vicious, he broke his hip trying to escape from them.
Well, yeah, after 3 hours.
Carl Amos says it was relentless, the aerial assault, which occurred on Friday. He says, I hit some of them with my hands, and you just can't kill them fast enough.
Relentless?
He was mowing the lawn. 81-year-old man mowing the lawn. Good for you, dude. With a bum hip.
Well, not necessarily a bum hip.
Well, I mean, obviously he wasn't in great shape if he could break it running away from bees.
He put up with 3 hours of a bee attack. It sounds to me like he was in great shape.
He was mowing the lawn when he was beset by a swarm of over 100 bees. He says, quote, they were going in my hair and going in my ears and my nose, and I thought I better keep my mouth shut because those bees will be in my mouth.
They don't care for my back talk.
I crunched them, and when they didn't come out, so then I blew some of them and came out, and then I stuck my finger in my nose and pulled them out.
Oh, God.
They think that these bees were Africanized honeybees or killer bees, that invasive species imported from Brazil that attacks in far greater numbers than a European bee would, responsible for numerous attacks and deaths across these United States. He says despite his valiant efforts to defend himself, the bombardment was overwhelming.
Well, I can tell you this. If this guy's off honey, I totally understand it.
I'd understand if it's all he ate. It was like a game of whack-a-mole. He would try and eradicate the bees in his ear with a tissue, only for their buzzy brethren to fly up his nose.
It does sound...
It was like he was getting waterboarded with killer bees!
It does sound like the sort of thing that could turn him into a superhero. I'm Bee Man. I'm more bee than man now. Call me Buzz.
81-year-old Carl Moses was mowing his lawn when he was beset by an attack of killer bees. After the course of 3 hours, he was given superpowers and turned into...
Bee-Man.
Bee-Man! I'm going to be more than a man. I'm going to be Bee-Man.
I'm
going to
pollinate your flower.
You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts. Let's get honey nuts.
Honey roasted nuts. 3 hours they were attacking. This is the part that I don't understand.
That doesn't sound right. Three hours?
Right.
Like, and there's no help?
Every time I've ever been stung by a bee, my first move is to get out of there. They just kept coming after him.
He didn't have a hose or anything?
Feeling outnumbered, he tried to flee the scene, but then as he was trying to run away, he tripped and broke his hip.
Well, yeah.
Quote, I heard it pop, so I thought, this is not good.
You were right.
Oh, no. So while he's on the ground with a broken hip, the bees see an opportunity.
The bees also heard it snap.
You would think after an hour and a half, the bees would get bored.
Well, yeah, you would think the bees would just give up.
Is this all we're going to do today? Sting this guy in the ground?
Yeah, we don't have other things to do.
Guys, we don't live that long to waste time like this.
Nature doesn't want us to do something else other than just this.
The attack lasted for 3 hours before a man from a neighboring business came by and called an ambulance, likely saving his life. Amos was transported to the Normal Regional Emergency Room in Normal, Oklahoma. Norman Regional Emergency Room. A team of physicians worked diligently to remove all of the stingers. So, okay, I have a lot of questions now. Once they sting you, they die, right? Don't they fly away and die? They must have been stinging him, like, methodically, like, not all at once.
Just a little dab will do you.
Death by a thousand cuts. One of the medics, Dr. Savannah Phillips, had never treated a case this extreme, claimed that the 81-year-old man had over 100 stingers in him, which seemed to be concentrated on his face and hands. After nurses removed as many of the bee's stingers as they could, he was then transferred to another facility to deal with the hip surgery. Currently resting and recovering.
Yeah, I guess we got to tackle the hip now.
They've created a GoFundMe page to cover his medical bills and therapy, and also pay for the cost of removing the bee's nest that apparently is there by his home.
So sticky.
It says here on the GoFundMe page, after all this, he's in good spirits, but it'll be a long road to recovery. He'll require therapy to get back on his feet. The beehive will have to be removed before he can even go home.
I got some wasp spray if you want it.
That would be the first thing I would say. Hey, I'm leaving the hospital. Did you take care of the bees while I was gone?
They're not still there, are they?
If I got to go back home and the bees are there, that's going to be too much for me. The doctor who worked on him says he's lucky to be alive. Getting stung that many times can prove to be life-threatening. She says, quote, you can have so much swelling that your airway starts to close.
Sure.
You're not able to breathe on your own.
Sure.
We look for things like if his voice were to change or if he wasn't able to tolerate swallowing water. One particular concern is an allergy to bee venom.
Yep, there's
that too.
Which
stings can trigger the anaphylactic shock, causing the victim to experience swelling, breathing problems, and even loss of consciousness and death. He says he's grateful that guy came along and found him after the 3 hours of getting stung and attacked. He says, I feel like I owe him my life. Yeah, you probably do. Unbelievable. 3 hours of them just constantly going in your eyes and your ears and your nose and stinging.
I don't see how you survive that.
No, this guy's made it tough.
I don't know that I'd want to.
Oh, after 20 minutes.
Minutes would feel like forever.
Exactly. I don't even know how you keep track of it being 3 hours. You must have known I mowed the lawn at 9 and they brought me to the hospital around 12:30.
Felt like 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'll say it again. This 81-year-old Carl Amos.
And all you did was,
might be the toughest guy in the world.
All you did is break a hip. That's all.
The breaking of a hip would feel kind of nice compared to the constant bee stings. That would almost be like a relief. Finally, something other than my face and hands hurts. This is nice to move it around. And as Chevelle says, send the pain below.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Number two.
Despite what the movies and the TV shows have taught us, you can't just call someone and have somebody murdered. That's not how the real world works.
You mean a hitman, a hit job.
Yes. When you hire a hitman, more often than not, that hitman is some sort of plant or agent, right? There's a story here out of New Jersey where a former podiatrist, I used to be a podiatrist, I'm looking, not anymore.
I'm looking for a foot soldier.
This guy is from Ramapo, New Jersey. And this is a twist I didn't see coming. Charged with trying to get his wife murdered, this is the second time he's pulled this off.
What?
Charged with trying to get his wife murdered for the second time. Back in 2017, Ira Bernstein. Ira Bernstein of Montebello, New Jersey, and his then-girlfriend pled guilty to offering a car salesman $100,000 to kill Bernstein's wife, Susan. Susan Bernstein! Yes?
What's it going to take to get me in this car today?
Oh, yeah.
If you could do a little something else for me,
I
might make that purchase.
I just talked to my manager, and he never does this. He's going to let me kill your wife for $100,000.
I'll do it. Roll that pen over here.
You're going to want that true coat on your dead wife because, you're going to want that. So this is a car salesman. They offer $100,000 to murder the wife. Ira ended up going to prison for this, you understand. Spent 4 years in prison. Well, on Friday, the district attorney over there said that between July and September of last year, the former podiatrist Ira Bernstein tried to have his wife killed again. This time...
I just want her dead so bad.
This time, however, Bernstein's sister has been indicted. Jacqueline Goldberg is 40 years old, and she allegedly conspired with her brother in destroying evidence of the solicitation. You know, my problem last time when I tried to have this woman killed was I asked a car salesman when I've got a younger sister that could have done the job for me.
What was I thinking?
Sis, would you do me a solid? If you hire somebody to murder your wife and you go to prison for that, and then you get out of prison and your wife dies under mysterious circumstances,
yeah.
You don't think that's the first... You're the first person they're coming to.
Double jeopardy.
That's not what double jeopardy means.
Well, then what the hell?
They're coming to ask you some questions. I'll be there in a minute. I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. Ira Bernstein, indicted by a grand jury for criminal solicitation and conspiracy, while his sister was indicted on tampering with physical evidence and conspiracy.
So you go to jail twice
for
trying to do the same thing.
And neither time. This woman is still very much alive.
Boy, he really hates me.
Now, if you're the wife,
is it,
or I have to assume ex-wife by this point, right?
I don't suppose Hallmark makes a card for that.
Sorry, I tried to have you killed.
Twice.
Parentheses, again.
Again?
No. That's not something you can find at the store.
Or a card that you send to him. Like, haha.
Yeah. What's your mind like? What's your headset?
You hate me so bad, you're willing to go to jail twice.
Right. For a crime that never actually happened.
As opposed to just moving on with your life. As opposed to just like trying to just, you know, just forget about me.
Uh-huh.
Just
$100,000 to have you murdered. I don't see anything about the girlfriend. Did the girlfriend stick around? When you go to prison, because you've got a side hustle, and then you go to prison because you two thought it'd be a good idea to murder the wife. Accused of trying to get his wife killed for the second time, this time with the alleged aid of his sister. You can just get divorced. That's pretty easy to do, I'm told. It's not that hard.
Just run away.
Yes. People do it all the time.
Bail.
The original case, Bernstein and his then-girlfriend, Kelly Griebeluk, were convicted of plotting to hire a hitman for $100,000. Oh, I guess the reason they had the car salesman was, the plan was they were going to run over Susan Bernstein.
Yeah, but you don't need to get...
We need somebody to run her over. Who do we get to do this? Car salesman? Yes. First thought, best thought.
You know other people drive cars.
Hey, I'll buy the car, but only if you're willing to run over my wife.
I bet this guy knows how to drive a car.
Hey, you seem like you really know what you're doing.
Did you drive here to work? Did you drive home?
I sure did. So the girlfriend and this former podiatrist, this Ira Bernstein, both did 4 years in prison. I don't know if they're together these days.
Tell me more about this new vehicle we're taking a look at here. Is this thing capable of driving over things?
Let me ask you something. You've talked a lot about anti-brakes and and all of this.
And road management. But
how hard is it hitting at like if you were to do 60 miles an hour, how bad could you mess up my wife, Susan Bernstein? Just asking a question.
At 60 miles an hour? Yeah, we could do that.
So, yeah, back to jail twice now. And Susan Bernstein, she's just got to be. You think she's terrified or tickled? I think I'd get more of a kick out of it.
Well, maybe puzzled as to he hates me that much.
It's
I don't remember being that awful.
Three.
All right, number three.
Number three.
Number three.
It's happened again. Someone tried to hire a hitman online.
Uh-huh. What'd they get?
You get undercover bupkis. Cop? You get nothing. Tennessee woman's in a lot of trouble, accused of paying a hitman from the dark web to kill the wife of her hiking friend. So they're not even a couple. This is just somebody.
I'm just not getting enough hiking in.
Somebody check on Josh Lamberty. He's okay, right?
I call you and ask you if you want to go hiking, and you say you can't. I'm done with this. I've got a solution.
So I want to go on a hike, and he's like, no, my wife says I can't. Okay. I know how to fix this. Hiking friend. Not a lover. Somebody she went on hikes with. I've never heard that term in my life, by the way. We're not romantically together. We just go on hikes. I'm married. I've got a life of my own. But my wife doesn't like to hike, so I made a hiking friend. What could go wrong, I thought. Then, apparently, murder was involved. She goes on the dark web to kill the wife of her hiking friend and then complained to the website administrator that the hit was taking too long to complete. Melody Sasser lives in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Can I not get Hitman Express?
Didn't I pay to expedite this hit?
Yeah, none of the bells and whistles, please. just do
please
the
please, should we cut the chit?
Just do the job. You know, I'm not necessarily looking to do this on the cheap, but I want it done.
Where are my results? She went and on this website, investigators are accusing her of targeting a woman in Alabama who had recently married a man that she had met on Match.com. Sasser allegedly used the screen name Cattree to order the death of her perceived romantic rival in the online killers market, a website hosted on the dark web that offers hitman for hire services. That's the thing.
How do you log on to the dark web?
I'm sure I don't know, and I don't want to even look into it. I feel like even looking into that, somehow you're in trouble. No thanks. In the description, which authorities say was shared with them via screenshots, Cattree said, quote, "It needs to seem random or an accident or plant drugs. Do not want a long investigation." Cattree then described the target's daily habits, including where she worked and what she drove. Authorities say as the weeks went on, Cattree also used a fitness tracking app called Strava to monitor the couple, notifying the online killer's market of her target's movement. The Montgomery Advisor is the newspaper of record where this is happening. They're not naming the woman who was targeted because, obviously, some privacy concerns. These acts occurred over a four-month period from the start of the year until April 27th of this year. The quoted amount, by the way, for the hit was $9,750, all to be paid in cryptocurrency.
And gift cards.
Best Buy gift cards. Bed Bath & Beyond gift cards. Really more coupons, and you can't use them, but still. In a written testimony, Special Agent Gregory Martin of Homeland Security Investigation says he was alerted to the scheme by a foreign law enforcement agency that supplied him with the targeted woman's name, address, and photograph. So this is somebody who's a cop somewhere else, saw the stuff on the web, and was like, you might want to look into this, American.
Listen, these Bath & Beyond coupons, Bed Bath & Beyond coupons, they're as good as money.
When agents from the Homeland Security investigations alerted the woman who was going to be the victim to the threat, she instantly suggested that the agents take a look at this Sasser woman. She told authorities that Sasser was a hiking friend of her husband's who had become enraged when she learned that he planned to get married. Sasser allegedly told the man, quote, "I hope you both fall off a cliff and die."
Well, nothing subtle about that.
Obviously, as an avid hiker, I'd like your death to be hiking related. Targeted woman said Sasser arrived last fall at her husband's house unannounced. She told agents that after that incident, her car was vandalized, and the couple started getting threatening phone calls from someone with an electronically disguised voice. Oh, jeez.
I want us all to listen carefully.
She didn't care for it when she was told to take a hike.
Right.
Yeah!
Agents analyzed the couple's phones, showing at least 9 calls from Sasser to the wife in November of last year, when license plate readers also showed Sasser's vehicle near the wife's workplace. Oh, boy.
You really haven't covered your tracks very well.
No. Authorities say this online killer's market claims to have 12,000 registered members worldwide and offers services including hacking, kidnapping, extortion, disfigurement by acid attack, and sexual violence.
Oh, my God.
The website includes an internal messaging system for users to connect with an alleged hitman, administrators, or other users. Martin said in the criminal complaint that the authorities alleged that Sasser complained to the site administrators that the hit she'd ordered was taking too long to be carried out. Quote, "I have waited for 2 months and 11 days and the job is not completed. 2 weeks ago, you said it was being worked on and would be done in a week. The job is still not done. Does it need to be assigned to somebody else? Will it be done? What is the delay? When will it be done?"
Ow.
That's a real taskmaster.
Only suspect we needed.
The admin responded, saying the assignment was too risky for the person who had agreed to the job. Quote, "I have 2 other hitmen I can assign on the job, but they both want a little bit more Bitcoin to do the job." And she agreed to that. She said, "Yeah, okay, I'll add more Bitcoin. I just want my hiking friend back. Is that so wrong? I hope you both fall off a cliff." I guess she had at one point helped this fella plan a hiking journey across the Appalachian Trail. Mm. And I guess maybe she mistook that for something else. I don't know. That Appalachian Trail, that takes a while to get done. That's like a couple of months.
Yeah, even had the hiking threat.
Keep it on brand.
Four.
There's a robot pizza delivery startup that managed to raise $500 million.
$500 million
for robot pizza delivery. They've had to shut down after a series of technological setbacks.
Well, you'll have that.
They've been working on this since 2015. A mobile pizza-making machine.
It's essential.
They struggled to turn it into a reality. The company is now insolvent, apparently. $375 million from multinational giant SoftBank thrown into this thing. SoftBank, by the way, makes poor investments. Like, that's what they're known for. This robot, it turns out...
Maybe we shouldn't be calling ourselves SoftBank.
This has not been easy, building a machine that makes pizzas. Startup has been stumbling for years. According to Bloomberg, the company struggled to physically keep melting cheese from sliding off the pies that were being baked in its moving trucks.
Right, because the robot that's making the pizza
right.
is in the truck.
Yes.
We're going to get this thing to you hot. As a matter of fact, it's so hot is that when we pull up, it's probably not going to be done for a couple minutes.
So as they're making the pizza pie in the back of the robot that's driving to your house, when it takes a turn, the cheese just goes sliding off the pizza pie.
Well, you need a stickier cheese.
Well, that's it. That's it.
That sounds to me like you're using a cheese that is maybe not cheese.
Well, joining us now here exclusively on Dave and Darren in the Morning, the robot that just lost his job at this startup that, for whatever reason, couldn't figure out how to make pizza with robots. And I'm here to tell you, he's not happy.
No.
This robot is not happy with being
this
fired.
This is one of Amy's friends.
No. This is the robot that just got fired, losing his job. They just lost his job on account of how, robot, are you there?
The problem was not with me or my superior programming. It was the substandard cheese they gave us. $500 million and they gave us junk cheese. This is bull crap, guys. I'm getting screwed.
Wow.
They gave us junk cheese.
Substandard cheese. Well, you were right, Darren.
Are they using a cheese that's like oil-based?
I don't understand.
They're cutting corners with the cheese. I mean, if you cook the cheese properly, it shouldn't be sliding around. It was sliding.
In early 2020, the company laid off half its workers before being bought by a compostable packaging company. At the time, the CEO blamed the cuts on the pandemic. I would think during the pandemic, a robot pizza delivery place would have made all the money in the world.
Yeah, should have boomed at that time.
There are several robot pizza making companies in Silicon Valley right now trying to automate pizza making, but they just can't get it figured out. There's another one called Stellar Pizza, which was formed by former SpaceX engineers. And they're working on a robot that can make dough, roll it out, and then cover it in various toppings before baking it. I don't know. As somebody who once made pizzas.
Yes. Did you make the whole pizza?
Well, we would make the dough.
Okay.
And then you would make it into like a ball.
Yeah.
And then you'd like freeze that for a time. And then you take it out and you'd stretch it out. I mean, there was a lot. Yeah, I'd say I made the whole pizza.
I mean, I'm just saying that you made a pizza start to finish. It wasn't your job to make the dough. Or it wasn't just your job to dress the pizza.
You know what? It would depend on the day. Some days they would say, like, you're on dough and dishes. Or, you know, you're just making pizzas. Or you're the one answering the phone.
Yeah.
It was
So sometimes you were not making a whole pizza.
No. No, but I will say,
you're a part of the process.
And according to my supervisor, a pivotal part of the process. I keep that review on my wall.
You're
framed.
Our pivot man. Is that like Anchorman?
Yes.
Because I've been called that as well.
The glue that holds the family together. That's what I was at Little Caesars there back in the day.
Join me in the freezer. Can you believe these schedules?
I love that you remember her name was Naomi. Naomi and Sherry were the two young ladies
Naomi
that I worked with.
Naomi and Sherry?
Oh, yeah.
Or Cherry?
Cherry.
Cherry?
Cherry, right? Was it Cherry?
Cherry? Naomi and Cherry?
Oh, Naomi's the one I remember the most. And I'm sure she spends a ton of time thinking about me. But the larger point here is, as someone who has made pizzas, I should think a robot would be able to figure it out.
Did you have a hat?
Oh, you're damn right I had a hat. I wore the required uniform.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Collared shirt, khakis, and a Little Caesar's hat.
What about an apron?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's a good look.
Oh, yeah.
That is. You were killing it.
I know. It's shocking I wasn't getting a lot more tail in high school when you think about how good I was in that Little Caesar's costume.
Was the person in charge?
Mm-hmm, Donna.
Donna?
Mm-hmm.
Was Donna allowed to not wear a hat to just kind of show that she was in charge?
No, I don't think so. I think we all had to wear hats. Mm. This is 30 plus years ago.
No, I get it.
But I'm when I picture she's wearing a hat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever try to get Donna into the freezer?
Donna was too old. I mean, she was in her mid-20s, but as a 16-year-old kid, she might as well have been 80, you know? I wasn't that daring, you know? In retrospect, probably should have. If I had it to do over again.
You were 16.
Oh, my. If I knew then what I know now when I was younger. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, the faces. So these robots are hurting.
Ooh la la.
Isn't that the story?
These robots are hurting.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mm-hmm. You hate to see it, but also...
You coughed up almost $400 million, huh?
Isn't that something else? Thank you, SoftBank.
You would think you'd get the ingredients first. You get that down first before you start looking for that kind of money.
Right. I would give you $375 million if you produced a robot and showed me that it works.
Yes, but it works!
Wow, that's something else. This pizza's really good. And you say a robot made it?
This is some of the
best.
Here's
my money.
And it shows up, and it's actually the pizza's... The pizza truck is outside for a minute or two before your pizza shows up because it's not even done.
Yeah.
It's going to come out. It's piping hot.
These were just people who went in with an idea in 2015, said, how about this? Robots that make pizza. And the bank said, shut up and take our money. We're SoftBank. We don't ask a lot of questions.
When the truck shows up, it's only a couple minutes.
Right.
It's only a couple minutes you have to wait. You don't have to wait for 5 minutes when it shows up. It shows up, and you can see it's just a matter of moments, and they're going to bring that pizza that is just now done.
Now, see, here's what I would do, too. I would make it so that when the robot shows up, it would have kind of like the Ice Cream Man music.
Yeah.
But instead of Turkey in the Straw,
yeah,
have it play
That's Amore.
That's Amore. Right?
Yeah.
Like that's Amore from the robot when it shows up. And you like,
here
you,
comes a you, guy here. With a big pizza pie. It's your pizza pie.
Right.
It's
Amore. Right. Yes. That's exactly what I'm thinking. And you can hear it just kind of slowly.
It's done.
Coming.
It's done. It's coming.
It's getting closer and closer. Like the.
You're coming.
Right. Like when you hear the Ice Cream Man in the distance, where you're like, wait a minute, do I hear that right?
Do I smell my pizza?
Is it coming?
I smell the pizza, too.
Now you're talking.
That's my pie.
Now you've got something.
Yeah.
Let's
prove to me that you can do that.
Uh-huh.
Prove to me that there's new tires on the vehicle.
Yes.
And we'll start talking about giving you real money.
Here it comes.
Here
it's getting closer and closer.
It's in the cul-de-sac.
Oh, that's my robot with my pizza pie.
They're here.
These eggheads are working on this tirelessly. They can't get it figured out.
No, you got to... First things first.
Mm-hmm.
Number five. Number five.
Monday mornings, we like to take a look at this review that the people at Dig put together. These are folks looking for advice,
mm-hmm,
not from friends, not from complete strangers, but from people who, in 2023, still have jobs writing advice columns.
What a world.
Yeah. These are kind of all over the place this week, and that's exactly the way we like it. Here's somebody asking if it's okay to report their neighbors for not mowing the lawn. Summer is almost here, and a house on our street has a really unkempt lawn. It looks like it hasn't been mowed at all. We live on a nice street with small front lawns, and the neighbors, all of us, we take pride. There's a local ordinance regarding this, but I'm on the fence about turning in these people. Another neighbor mentioned reporting them, and we're both wondering what you think. Should we call the cops on our neighbor for not having a nice lawn?
How'd you like to mow my lawn?
Well, if it's something that's ridiculous, you can get a hold of the city.
Mm. Couldn't you talk to your neighbor?
Well, yeah. Cha.
How hard is that? Well, hey, lawn looks a little weird. You going to work on that or what?
Everything's gone to seed, man.
Yeah, Amy Dickinson says, you know, maybe they have health problems or other reasons for not mowing the lawn. You don't know the family before you turn them in. Why don't you knock on the door and offer to cut their lawn for them, she says. Well,
okay. That's exactly what they'd like.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be doing that all the time. How can I get my 3-year-old not to paint on the walls with nail polish? I have a 3-year-old. Recently, we've been doing our nails together with baby nail polish. Meaning it's non-toxic. I noticed the other day she used the polish to paint on the wall in her bedroom. There were red streaks on the wall that could have come from her nail polish only. I was so upset she damaged the wall, but I did not lash out at her. I haven't said anything yet. How should I address this? She has to learn she should not use the paint in this way.
You can't have a conversation with a three-year-old before you write a letter to an advice columnist?
And just say, don't do it.
Hey, what is this about? You don't do that. Also, again, just my two cents. Why does your three-year-old have access to the nail polish when you're not around
it? Yeah, can't you put it away?
Yeah, put the nail polish away.
How do I address this with her? I don't know.
I don't know how to talk to this person.
How do I do this? How do I get my 12-year-old daughter to stop pouting about caring for her infant brother? I have a 12-year-old daughter, Kayla, from a previous relationship. Kayla's dad is not in our lives. I also have a 6-month-old son named Aiden with my boyfriend. Congratulations. Becoming an older sister not going smoothly for Kayla, and she often acts jealous or clingy about the time I spend with Aiden or the time that I spend with my boyfriend.
Evos, my boyfriend!
She's pouty about new chores and having to babysit Aiden, which I guess is regular tween behavior. But with a new baby on a lot on my plate, I need her to grow up a little. She's nearly a teenager. So the clinginess is really weird. I was expecting her to start spreading her wings more. Also, one of the biggest complaints is she doesn't get enough sleep because of Aiden's colic. I also didn't get a lot of sleep. It's just part of having a new baby. Kayla's grandma on her dad's side, who has been involved in her life since Kayla was a toddler, lives nearby and offered to take her overnight during the school week so she can sleep better. Kayla is jumping at this chance. But I'm worried it's going to create a lot of extra work for me and might ruin our bond if she's already feeling so clingy. How do I balance my son and daughter's needs with my own? This is one of those letters where they get the response that they're not looking for. Michelle Herman advises the letter writer, quote, "Why don't you stop expecting help from your daughter? Kayla's your 12-year-old child. Stop treating her as if she's an extra adult whose purpose in life is to make yours easier."
Well, that's not what I wanted you to say.
What?
I wanted you to tell my daughter she needs to pitch in more.
Well, I have never.
Random.
How can I get my ex from 30 years ago to respond to my letters and voicemail?
What is wrong with you?
Why won't they?
Oh, here we go.
They probably think you're dead.
About 5 years ago, I began to realize that a woman I dated 25 years earlier was someone I had stronger feelings for than I was mature enough to appreciate at the time.
I have not had a lot of success since then. In anything. And I feel as though I blew it. I really blew it.
I had questions for her about why we hadn't blossomed into the kind of relationship I now think we both believe we were destined for.
Oh, you believe that that's what,
okay.
You believe that that's what they believe.
In the past 5 years, I've continued to have those questions, then dreams, which have led me to do a paid search for my ex's address.
Uh-oh.
I wrote her twice, and I left a voicemail. My messages have been about old friends I bumped into who reminded me of her, what I've been doing, and how I'd like to hear from her. That is nothing too serious or about what's been on my mind. Well, I haven't received an answer. I've thought through the reasons she hasn't corresponded.
Oh, have you?
And I needed to talk to her. I'm still at a loss.
You're not going to care for this response.
Would asking her my questions directly in a letter be a way to coax her into reconnecting with me? Telling her that, apart from this midlife crisis of mine, I'm happily married and successful.
Okay.
And all I want are answers.
All right. You're really not going to care for the answer.
Yeah, Carolyn Hack says, I think I've got a reason why your ex isn't responding to you. Quote, here's why you're scaring me and therefore presumably your ex. When you ignore an obvious sign that you should stop trying, it leads a person to wonder what exactly will make you stop.
And you're married.
And there's that. I like how that's at the very end of the letter.
Yeah.
How is it we didn't blossom into something more? I'm happily married, by the way. Are you? Because that's not something a happily married person would say.
Not typically. Mm.
And our last one, Darren. How can I get my girlfriend to accept that pulling pranks is a big part of who I am?
No.
I already hate this guy so much.
Prankster, huh?
One of my friends in elementary school started calling me the prankster because of...
And I got to live up to that.
Elementary school?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a hard time getting through this one. I'm just going to warn you. Everybody, hold on to your cat.
What? My cat?
One of my friends in elementary school started calling me the prankster because of the hilarious tricks I used to play on even our favorite teachers and girls I had a crush on.
Back in second grade.
The name sort of stuck. And my high school, my friends were calling me TP for short.
They weren't calling you the prankster. That was not the nickname.
I don't think so.
We call him TP, the prankster. The name sort of stuck in my high school. My friends were calling me TP for short, which you have to admit is funny, especially since pranks are what they count on me to pull off all sorts of times and places.
Oh, brother.
Close friends get to call him TP. I started seeing someone I hooked up with a few times when we were both on our year abroad in Italy. After we got back, we lost touch, but then she moved not too far from me, and we reconnected. Compared to the other girls I've been with, this woman is what my dad calls a quality woman.
Okay, great, Dad.
He said he doesn't get what she sees in me. My dad's a funny man, too.
I don't get what she sees in you, son.
I thought she was good with my pranking people, but she told me she doesn't think some of what I do is very funny, and some of it is outright cruel. I never think of myself or what I do for a little fun as cruel. Even when I went back in my mind over some of my pranks, they seem more like just a fun thing to do.
Was that cruel?
With no one getting hurt. I really like this girl, and I want this to work. But I don't know if I like her enough to change who I am. I figure if she doesn't get me, we're not going to work.
Yeah.
How do I get her to understand I never mean to be mean, and pulling pranks is a big part of who I am and what people have come to expect from me? Wow. This is an adult that wrote this letter.
Yeah.
I wrote this letter hoping it would get published in a newspaper for strangers to read.
The prankster.
TP. The advice columnist here, says either you or your girlfriend are going to have to meet in the middle to preserve this relationship. Quote, that someone you admire finds your behavior out of line is possibly a good indication that perhaps you do go too far at least sometimes, and or that you and your girlfriend have very different ideas on what constitutes humor. How in the world?
That doesn't answer anything.
No, but it ate up some ink, and that's what it's all about.
I don't even know what to take away from that.
My dad's kind of a jokester, too. We are hilarious in my family. They call me the prankster. Well, that was some good advice.
And that was good advice. Good advice. Good advice. good advice costs nothing and it's worth the price. I sincerely doubt that the world could do without my good advice.
Yeah, it's a nickname I've had since elementary school. I'm pretty proud of it.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was the Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks so much for downloading it. Hopefully you're subscribing to it. Tell your friends that you enjoy it. And if you get a chance,
you had a good time.
Listen to it live. Weekdays, 5:30 to 10 on Planet 93.9 FM or on the mobile app or the website, huh?
Yep.
I don't think we're asking too much.
No, come on. Pull your weight.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again. Hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Okay, bye. Stop making noise.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please. Thank you.